You and greetings in Jesus' name. It's good to be here with you. Seems like a little while since we've been in touch with your community in this way. I would have been glad to sit and feed off of your brethren's planned speaking this morning, but willing to be here in this place too. How many of you enjoy waiting on somebody? How many of you enjoy being waited on? In other words, you're late, you know you're late, and you know you're holding something up. Few of you didn't understand me because I don't think you would have put up your hands if you did. There was one instance where traveling as a family of eight youngsters a number of years ago, flight was delayed. But there were eight of us. There were enough of us to hold up the plane on the other end. And that plane had been, we found out once we got there, the plane had been held up for quite some time. It was sitting there full, waiting for us. They kept the gate open, of course, so. Nothing like walking onto a plane, all eight of you with 130 people waiting on you, and you have to face every one of them all the way to the back of the plane or wherever the seats happen to be. All right, we don't enjoy people waiting on us. We don't enjoy waiting on others really either, do we? But you know, it's interesting how much waiting God sees to it that we do. Have you ever thought about that? How much waiting God makes sure happens in your life? You think about God, his perspective, 1,000 years is as a day. What's waiting? And you think about the people in throughout the Old Covenant, the Old Testament, we have a lot of stories. David said a lot about waiting, and you think about the waiting that David did in God's plan. Josephus says that he was anointed king at the age of 10. So 10, 15, as maybe quite a few other commentators would suggest. 10, 15 years old, how old was he when he was king, when he was made king? Boys? Remember when David was made king of Judah? He was king of Judah for, was it 7 years before he was king of Israel? How old was he when he was made? Go back a couple rows here. Help him out. How old was David when he was made king? Okay, go back a couple more benches. 30. David was 30 years old when he was actually took a position there with Judah. 15 to 20 years of waiting. How many years did he spend roaming the wilderness? I don't know if we know that exactly, but a number of years. Wilderness of Ziph, was it? Several other wildernesses, places where he roamed, fled from Saul. He was anointed king, waiting for the throne. You remember he was given Michal, Saul's daughter, to wife. And at a point early on, she was taken from him. And it wasn't until years later, after Saul's death, that she was returned to him. Waiting. once he did get into his filling his responsibility as king for Judah, another 7.5 years before he was king of Israel. And then take that position, and he suffered along with Israel for 3 long years of famine because of Saul's sin against the Gibeonites. What a start to a successful kingdom. Waiting, waiting. And it was early on in his rule, maybe in the 10th to 15th year of his 40-year reign, somewhere in there, that he was interested in building the temple for the Lord. And God said, no, no, let that go for your son. It was a passion of his heart. Not only did he have to wait, he never did get to see it. David says much about waiting. God has had strategic points for his people to wait. I think about the situation where Israel was coming out of Egypt, and they were being pursued by the Egyptian army, and they came into this geographical funnel, valley, mountains on both sides, and the Egyptians behind, and the Red Sea ahead of them. And the Israelites looked at Moses when they saw what was going on and said, what are you doing to us? And Moses had some very, quite an amazing message. And probably the Israelites viewed it as some kind of complacent stupidity when Moses said, just wait, just stand still, just be quiet and see the salvation of the Lord. Wait. Have you ever been on the brink of some kind of tragedy and the last thing you wanted to do was wait? The very last thing you wanted to do was wait. Children, do you remember the story of Christian when he was on his way to the celestial city? And he came in through the wicket gate, and he came to the house of Mr. Interpreter. And Mr. Interpreter had a number of stories to tell him and pictures to show him. And do you remember there was one room that Mr. Interpreter took Christian into? And in that room, there were 2 chairs, and there were 2 boys sitting on those chairs. And the one boy was sitting contentedly, and he was happily waiting, and the other boy was fussing and fuming. Do you remember their names? Anyone, children, you remember their names at all? You follow the story? Passion and patience. Passion and patience. Now, which one do you think was sitting on the chair fussing and fuming? Probably wasn't patience, was it? Must have been passion. So Passion was sitting on this chair, and he was complaining about not having his toys to play with, and he wanted his things now. And he was fussing and screaming and being very unruly. He was not being kind. He was not waiting quietly at all. Finally, someone came in and brought him a bag of toys, a bag of treasures. And he grinned and he grabbed for his bag of treasures, and he looked at Patience sitting over there so quietly, and he said, ha, 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 I've got mine, you've got none. Now you cry while I have fun. And he made fun of him. But it was only as Christian watched, the calendar turned fast, and a year went by. And by the end of the year, Passion had no toys left. They were broken. They were no good anymore. And he had nothing to play with. And patience was still waiting patiently. When in came their master and brought a bag of treasure for patience. Now this was much better treasure. Maybe it was like nice heavy metal Tonka trucks instead of the plastic things that Passion had. I'm not sure. I don't know what kind of toys they were, but they were better toys. And they would last for a very long time. And when Patience got his bag of treasure, Passion was very upset. I never got anything that nice. And his master told him, you complained and fussed and you got yours early. Patience waited, and now he has something he'll be happy with for a very long time. You know, children, sometimes this thing of waiting is a little tough, isn't it? But if you wait for when your mom says wait, when your dad says just be patient sometime, you wait patiently, the best things come. You remember this, children, are you listening? The best things come to those who wait, to the ones who wait, all right? Patiently wait. Well, you take that little lesson home with you. Waiting. I would like us to think about different postures. Successful waiting. In Isaiah chapter 41, we have this familiar verse. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. We love that verse. We love that promise of, it's just such a solid commitment from God to enable us in the difficult times of life. But understand that the promise is made to those who are waiting. The promise is made to those that wait upon the Lord. I don't know how you view, when we started out this little time here of with the question of, do you like to have others have to wait on you, or do you like to wait on other people? What's your first thought in relation to the time spent doing that? That's real profitable. Waste of time. I'm not a good waiter. The Lord has worked on me and is still working on me in relation to this thing of waiting. Maybe some of us are tended to activity, and others of us are tended to a little more passivity. Our natures may lend us to be more compatible with one or the other. But one of my pet peeves is wasting time waiting. Is waiting a waste of time? I think it can be. And we can waste other people's time by making them wait. I don't wish for us to be careless till we're said and done here in relation to that practical point. They that wait upon the Lord, that word wait, if you were to go to Strong's or to Vines and study that word a little bit, what it means is to bind together, to intertwine in such a way that it cannot be separated as there's pressure and as there's tension. To intertwine and to bind together by twisting is the thought there. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew. There's a lot of renewable energy talk in today's world. And you know what renewable energy is, right, young man? So renewable energy, is the wind ever going to stop blowing? Probably not. As long as the world stands, there'll be wind. The sun will still shine, right? So you can absorb whatever energy you want from that wind or from the sun, and you will not lessen what it is. Set up 150 power windmills and let the wind blow. Did you lessen the wind? They say you actually create a little more, don't they? You don't lessen it. Is there any kind of renewable energy source such as our God? Is there any waiting and drawing from his resources that lessen him in any extent? Can you lessen God's resources by the amount you draw on them? Never can we lessen who God is and what he has and what he wishes to do for us. They shall renew their strength, they that wait upon the Lord. I would like us to just think about this thing waiting a little this morning and how we can wait successfully rather than wastefully. I don't know where you find yourself in life, and we find ourselves all across the spectrum here. Maybe you are a child that has really wanted something and been asking for a calf, for a colt, for a tractor, for a riding lawnmower, for a, I don't know what you might ask for, a new dress. Maybe you're a parent who has waited indefinitely for a child that never came. Maybe you're a young person at a stage in life where it seems like the world is standing still and you're waiting, you're not sure for what, but you just wish it would move on to the next stage. Maybe you're tired of waiting. Maybe you're a builder that's waited for permits for 12 weeks and you're tired of waiting. Maybe you have been praying for a wayward child for 12 years and the waiting feels like an eternity. How can we wait in a profitable way? Think about waiting. Postures in waiting. Wait with patience. Let's think about this thing of patience a bit. Psalm 37, I'm going to draw from the Psalms some this morning. Psalm 37, verses 7 through 9. Rest in the Lord. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently. Now that's a really tough combination, isn't it? To rest and to wait simultaneous. You can often tell when a person is sitting somewhere waiting. They're not usually very restful. Fidgety, looking, wondering when the vehicle's going to come down the road, when the door's going to open, when this person's finally going to get here for their appointment, when it's difficult to rest and wait. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself. Because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass, because of this situation or that scenario or all the potential that could have happened that's causing the delay, fret not thyself. Cease from anger, the frustration of waiting. Cease from anger. Forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Waiting, impatience produces these things of anger and rash decisions that it's time just to move forward. Let's go. Let's get her done. I'm tired of this. Impatience produces wrong outcomes. Oh, if I would have only waited, Have you ever felt that way? I'm sure. We all know what that's like. Reflect on those times. Calmness. Wait on the Lord. Rest in the Lord. Be patient for Him. Waiting with patience really is choosing to be content with this position. Where I am right now, I will be content until God brings the next step in life. I find, and you will find, you know what it's like as well, that waiting is so much more profitable. It's so much more enjoyable if it's done with patience rather than ranting and raving and whining and wishing, stewing, stomping inwardly. Waiting is a much more pleasant experience. The same amount of time elapses, you might as well enjoy it, right? You might as well enjoy it. Enjoy the wait time by being patient. Wait with not only patience, but wait with faithfulness. Psalm 37, verses 34 through 37. Going on just a little farther in that psalm. Wait on the Lord and keep His way, and He shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. I have seen the wicked in great power, spreading himself like a green bay tree. Yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. Mark the perfect man, and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. Hosea 12:6. Therefore turn thou to thy God, keep mercy and judgment, and wait on thy God continually. Keep mercy and judgment. Wait on the Lord. Keep His way. Running ahead of God in this process of waiting usually begins a chain of events that distract us from His way. Take us out of what the very thing we're waiting on. Take us into a position where we are no longer waiting and we still haven't received. And so it leads us away from God. Sometimes in the process of waiting, we wonder, well, what am I to do? What is there to do in this waiting time? And I think this particular passage, these thoughts in relation to faithfulness, give us a little bit of answer, some light on our path in that. Sometimes it's just simply necessary to keep doing what we're doing, to keep doing what is right, to keep plugging along with the project that is at hand, even though you're ready to go on, to move on to something else. A new job, a different vocation, another stage of life. Don't ruin the present by longing for something that God has not yet given you. It's all right to long for what God has for us, but don't ruin the present by longing for that. Don't get so caught up in that longing that you forget where you are. Faithfulness today in what God has put on your doorstep, whatever that is, faithfulness in that today actually puts you in a position for God to be able to take you on. It puts you in a position to be able to hear God when He's ready to take you on. Obedience gives Him room to do what He wishes to do. Faithfulness. Wait with faithfulness. You know, someone has said, if you pluck the blossom, you must do without the fruit. If you pluck the blossom, you must do without the fruit. And so you have these small pear trees and you have these little blossoms there and you know there's going to be pears. But those pear blossoms would be beautiful centerpiece for the table. And so you go out and you cut the blossom. You've chosen to do without the fruit. There's many things in life that are that way. Young people, I encourage you, don't cut blossoms. Wait. Let God bring those things to you with time. Don't try to wander into things of life that are not for you to have at your stage of life. Don't try to reach into, well, okay, there's many things that are this way, but I'll just frankly say one of the things that are this way is this thing of sexual fulfillment that is built within every individual. Do not pick the blossom. You will not enjoy the fruit. You will ruin the fruit. Wait. And there are many things like that in life that God brings to us at particular stages in life, particular times in life. He will see to your fulfillment and blessing if you're willing to wait. If you're willing to wait. Is God worth waiting for? God is always worth waiting for. And God's ways are always worth waiting for. God's things are always worth waiting for. Choose to wait. Wait with a sense of dependency. In Psalm 145, again, the book of Psalms, the eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. All right, so we understand the birds. We understand the cattle on a thousand hills are his. We understand the wild beasts. The psalmist was reflecting on those things, I think, the things of nature here. The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thy hand and satisfieth the desire of every living thing. That includes us. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him. To all that call upon him in truth, he will fulfill the desire of them for that fear him. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. Psalm 104:27. These wait all upon thee that thou mayest give them their meat in due season. Wait with a sense of dependency. Independence produces distance in our relationship with God. Wait with a sense of dependency. It seems to me, as I think about this thing of dependency and independence, practically speaking here, thankfulness is a sign of a dependent heart. To be able to be in a position of waiting and to observe the goodness of God, the things that he has given you, the places that he has taken you, the ways that he has been faithful to you, to choose to be thankful produces a dependency and a waiting on God that he will return. He will be faithful again. We will not wait in vain. Thankfulness is a conscious recognition of God's gifts to us. And it's, I think, also a willing admission that I cannot achieve them by myself. I cannot get there by rushing ahead, only by waiting on God. If the Lord will, we shall do this or that. That kind of dependency. All right, there's another posture of waiting, and that is this thing of anticipation. Wait with hope. Wait with a desire for something more and something better. The psalmist again in Psalm 130, verses 5 and 6, I will wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. You lay in bed. It's 3 o'clock, and then it's 4 o'clock, and then it's 5 o'clock. And you've seen the time change all the way through. They that wait for the morning. Some of you know what that's like. Some of you will sometime know what that's like. I say more than they that watch for the morning. If we hope, Romans 8:25 says, if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. My soul, wait thou only upon God, from Psalm 62, verse 5. For my expectation is from him. Sometimes waiting brings despondency. Waiting brings a sense of depression, a sense of rejection, a sense of hopelessness. What is beyond now? Despondency, discouragement, saps the mind. It just takes the energy out of you. It takes the bounce out of your step. It takes the smile off your face. And it takes the tone of, we can get this done, out of your voice. I think we've all been there enough in small ways to know that. To know that feeling, that energy-sapping discouragement. Wait with anticipation. I think practically speaking here, a positive outlook becomes a choice. Finally, it becomes a choice. There's surrender there that must happen in the process of that, but that too is a choice. But let us understand, if you find yourself in an extended period of waiting and you find discouragement constantly knocking at your door, let's understand that that is a work of Satan. That's a work of Satan to bring you to nothingness. That's a work of Satan to wear you down and to bring you to despise life, if you will. And many people have gone there. Necessary for your emotional health, for your mental health, is a positive outlook. It really is. And much of that is not so much what has happened to me in life as my choice of what I do with those things as they happen, little by little. There's other things that affect our emotional health. I just want to recognize that in relation to the comments that I'm making here. But understand, the realization that God is good, regardless of how life feels, goes a long way in helping me to focus on what God has done and will yet do in my life rather than what he has not done or how life has been unfair in some way to me. Wait with anticipation. Wait with hope. Wait with persistence. I will wait upon the Lord, from Isaiah 8, verse 17. I will wait upon the Lord that hideth his face from the house of Jacob, and I will look for him. Isaiah 30, 18. And therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you. Did you catch that? And therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you. And therefore will he be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for him. Psalm 25, 5, lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. And then the psalmist goes into another mode sometimes. 143, verse 7, hear me speedily, O Lord, my spirit faileth. Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like unto them that go down into the pit. I'm weary of my crying, from Psalm 69, 3. My throat is dry, my eyes fail while I wait for my God. Have you ever been at a time in life where it just feels like God is silent? Your prayers feels like they stop at the ceiling. You're not sure where God is in your particular stage of life. Feels like he's withdrawn himself from you. Have you ever asked repeatedly for a sense of direction for a particular need in your life? And it seems like that's all that happens, is you ask and you ask and you ask, and God is silent. I can relate to that. I think most of us probably can. The times when feelings just simply go dead. And God seems so distant. Understand, through the eye of faith, if you can, understand that giving up on God, trying other pursuits will not bring relief, will not bring answers. It does not bring us to what God has for us. Why does God go silent at times? Well, that's a whole thought in itself that we have very little time this morning to explore. But I believe that God wants to develop persistence in faith within us. God wants to develop persistence in faith. Listen to this parable that he spake unto them in Luke 18, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. There was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, Jesus stopped for a moment there and said, hear what this, does he say unjust? Yes. Hear what this unjust judge saith. Now when Jesus stops and says, listen to what he just said. There must be something there. Though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. I believe parables break down at points, and so we could probably get carried away by trying to analyze that comment. But after Jesus said, did you hear what the unjust judge said? Then he goes on and says this. Shall not God avenge his own elect which cry day and night unto him, though he, what? Bear long with them. Though he bear long with them. In studying that phrase, that thought, the parable, what came through clearly to me, I'd be interested in hearing what comes through in your study of it, but is this, that God may tolerate for an extended period of time the oppression of his people, the hurt of his people, the suffering of his people. He will bear long with them. But in his bearing long with them, his heart's desire is to relieve them, to bring them out of that suffering and of that, well, the conditions of the world in which he has chosen to subject us to. It's not his fault that sin is here. It's not his fault that this world is deteriorating. But he has chosen in his design for man in the world, he's chosen to leave us in a position to be subject to the effects of sin in this world. You think about how much of your waiting has to do with the effects of sin in this world. And understand that though God is bearing long, he with desire wishes to bring relief. But he bears long. Read verse 8. I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith? Persisting faith on this earth? He bears long that there would be faith. It's the only reason God bears long, because he hurts with every one of our hurts. Through Jesus, I believe he feels and he suffers with our suffering. And so God waits. And God has us wait. Just a couple more thoughts in relation to this thing of waiting. So we find ourselves waiting for the return of the Lord. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Let your loins be girt about, and your lights burning. And ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Sometimes in the process of waiting, we forget what life is about. And maybe life is just a little bit like my wife and I as we waited in the airport a year ago, year and a half now, I'm not sure. And we waited for our flight. Right out alongside the moving walkway, we sat there right outside our gate. We both had things to do, and so we were busy with the things we had to do. And all of a sudden, I looked up, and our gate was empty. There was nobody in our gate any longer. And the door was closed. And I jumped up, and I went over to the lady at the counter. "Did you load our flight?" "Yeah. Who are you?" "Oh, we called you several times." There's always another flight. But there's a time when there won't be another flight, right? In our waiting, let us not become so engrossed that we wait in vain. Let us not become so busy and distracted that we wait in vain. Let's not let our lives be so noisy that we can't hear. What God is saying. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and the latter rain. And you think you've waited a long time? I think I've waited a long time. And God continues to wait to receive the precious fruit. Only to circle around in this whole discussion of waiting and all the waiting that we do and all the waiting that is imposed upon us to understand that perhaps all the while God was waiting on me. God was waiting for me to get to the place where he could do what I was waiting for. And he waits long in patience. He doesn't pick the bud because he wishes to enjoy the fruit. May God bless you as you wait. And understand if God is waiting on you. Let's kneel and pray.